You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Mary Bly may have said it best. Dogs come when they're called. Cats take a message and get back to you. Despite some deeply held personal preferences, America loves its pets. U.S. households share their beds and laps with over 75 million cats and 69 million dogs. But what does it say about you if you have a fondness for felines or are crazed about canines? Royal Canin recently commissioned a survey to discover why a purr or bark is more likely to tug at your heartstrings. Are we swayed by the flip of a wily whisker, or does size really matter when choosing a dog? Dr. Laura Peltz of Royal Canin will discuss the findings and why feeding to the breed can ensure that no matter your choice, your pet lives as long and healthy a life as possible. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Your dog digs a hole under your fence, and the next thing you know, protect your pets with Dig Defense, the amazing new product that keeps your pets in the yard. Dig Defense is safe, fast, and easy. Each unit is made from 4-gauge galvanized American steel and can be used for repairing digouts, filling gaps, or to hold fences down so pets can't get under them. Dig Defense provides peace of mind that your pets are contained humanely and safely. Visit digdefense.com today. DIGDEFENCE.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Peltz, thank you so much for being with us. I found this survey to really be extremely interesting. So why did Royal Canin commission this survey?
Well, you know, I think breed-specific issues have always been very important to us. We launched our first breed-specific formula back in 1999 and have continued to add on to that in subsequent years. So we really wanted to dig just a little bit deeper. There's always lots of information about what breeds are popular, but we wanted to dig a little deeper and find out things about, you know, more issues of what makes them choose a certain pet and why do they think that pet's right for them, and just other issues that come along with that decision-making process.
It's interesting because I know that here in the United States, a movie comes out like 101 Dalmatians several years ago, and everybody wanted a Dalmatian, or the Jack Russell Terrier that was featured in TV. You know, oftentimes you'll see that change. But I just recently came back from a vacation in Spain, and the dog that's over there that everybody loves are French bulldogs. They were throughout Spain. I found it fascinating to see what seems to be right now the most common breed in the United States for dogs.
Well, this has been consistent for quite some time, and the Labrador Retriever is definitely leading the pack right now. That's definitely our most popular breed that we see. There's certainly others that round it out. We see a lot of German Shepherds, Yorkshire Terriers, Bulldogs, but the Lab has consistently been number one for quite a few years now.
How about cats?
Cats, we see Persian as, when we're talking breed-specific ones, we see Persians, and then Maine Coons are right up there as well. Siamese, very popular also, but Persian's number one.
Dr. Peltz, in this survey, was there anything that you found that just really stood out going, boy, I didn't expect to see that really surprised you and Royal Canin?
You know, there weren't so many surprises. I certainly found certain things interesting, but I wasn't terribly shocked. I think really looking at how important, on the cat side, how important they view the look of the cat. that's very important to cat owners when choosing. Both cat and dog owners, their disposition or temperament are very important, but it was interesting to see that difference. And then we saw a similar opinion when you're talking about dog owners about the size being very important. So I just thought it was an interesting contrast between the two, looking at dog and cat. So I found that definitely very interesting.
So I've always told people that for dogs, for me at least size-wise, you know, we have the doglet. That's the one that you can carry around in your purse. The doggy, right. That maybe is the Jack Russell Terrier, the dog, and then the horse size. So you're saying that Labradors seem to be the most popular breed. It has been the most popular breed for years. So that's more that dog size. Is it whether or not they have children or they live in an apartment? Did you look into that type of background also?
You know, there weren't a lot of specific things that came out in terms of what they're looking at their environment and what they chose, but we were looking more at what they thought was important. But that definitely is a very important factor in making that decision. I think your overall lifestyle is very important to consider, and I think that has a lot to do with whether you end up being a dog or a cat person. Certainly there's some that are both, but I think lifestyle can be very important, and certainly temperament, their size, their need for activity. All those things play into that.
It was interesting in the press release that Royal Canin put out, one of the things that they had referenced was Steve Dale, and he's a certified animal behavior consultant. And he said it was really important, and it's true. And so many times I'll see clients coming into the practice who they were at the shelter or they were at a pet store and they saw a particular breed and they go, oh, or they saw a dog and they just fell in love with this dog, brought it home, and they go, oops, this was not the right one for me. And Steve was really saying that matching a dog or cat's personality with your family's personality is so essential. What are you seeing with that?
Well, I couldn't agree more with him. And you brought up a good point, too, in how popular culture can affect what breeds people want. And then I think there can be these, you know, decisions that are made because you're maybe not even planning, but some animal happens to tug at your heartstrings. And then you go forward with it, but it is really important to think about, do you have a very active lifestyle? If you do, and you want that dog to be part of it, for example, that English Bulldog, probably not the best. You're not going to go on runs and big hikes with that English Bulldog, you know. But if you are that very active family, the Labrador, for example, is perfect. And then, you know, just really taking into consideration their temperament, too, when you think about the overall environment of the home. Do you, you know, you think about dogs that maybe tend to be very nervous. That might not be the greatest option for if you have lots of small children and lots of chaos at home all the time. You know, just things like that are important to consider. And also just time and financial commitments. Is this a dog that needs to be groomed frequently? Do you travel a lot? If so, what are you going to do about that? You know, all those issues are very important.
Planning ahead, yes, is so important. You get that free puppy or the free kitten and then starting to realize, oh, now I need to spay it. Oh, it needs vaccines. Oh, that Cocker Spaniel is prone to having skin and ear issues, things that sometimes people just don't consider. Did you find anything, for instance, dispelling some of the myths that we think of? You know, you think of that crazy old cat lady, and I have three cats, so I'm probably getting into that list of the crazy cat lady that really dispelled some of the myths. You know, we think of the cat lady as being somewhat reclusive and having the chintz furniture and the doilies everywhere, and that's not me. What did you find?
Yeah, well, you know, we certainly saw some interesting things there as well, and I think you are right sometimes that people do think that, and oftentimes it's because that's what they think about cats in general if they haven't had a lot of exposure to different cats, because a lot of people have experienced you go to a friend's house and you never see the cat. You know they live there, but you never see them. I mean, they've got that reclusive type personality that you think of. And that really just isn't accurate at all. Most of we did ask about what types of cat breeds that they might identify with their personalities, and there was a large number that had identified with the Maine Coon, which is a cat that's very active and really social. They spend a lot of time with the family, hanging out with the family and friends, and it's just not that traditional reclusive cat type personality that you think of. And also the Siamese, a lot of people identified there as well, and they certainly like to be with people as well and are very outspoken. Everyone knows that they have lots and lots to say if you've ever been around a Siamese.
What do they find with dog owners? You typically think, oh, yes, you know, that person that owns a dog is going to be out and about and they're hiking and biking and doing all these fun things with the dog. And then you were saying that English bulldogs seem to be what a lot of people associate
with
it.
Most people identified with that. So, yeah, which I do think is very interesting because you do, when you think of dog owners, you think of those people at the park or out hiking with the dog, doing all kinds of very active things, and certainly that is not fitting with a bulldog personality. But I think, you know, maybe it's just one of those things that the bulldog has such a cool personality. Everybody wants to be that cool person that's just fun to hang out and relax with, and maybe that's why they identify with it despite what their lifestyle may be. So that was very interesting, I think.
I also have to somewhat laugh just because the confirmation of a Maine Coon that tends to be that really big cat and English bulldogs who also tend to be rather stocky is going, huh, I wonder if Americans are either identifying with this chunkiness because there's way too many chunky people or, you know, what's that underlying psychological bent to that?
Right. Who knows? That's an interesting theory, though.
Possible. When you're choosing a dog or a cat, what should people really think about? So you're talking about lifestyle and activity. What other things should be considered?
Well, yeah. So I do think the activity is very important. If you don't have time to do a lot of walking and exercise, you know, you definitely need to steer away from those very active breeds like the Lab. But at the same time, if, you know, on the flip side of that, like we already discussed, if you have that very active lifestyle, you may want to not choose a breed that's not going to fit with that because they may not be able to assimilate into your family as well. Thinking about their temperament, are they going to be a good fit with the feel of your family? Is it a high-energy household? Is it a laid-back, you know, relaxed atmosphere? Those are things that are very, very important. And then, you know, the care of them. What additional types of care will be required? Grooming is probably a very big issue. And then also, do your homework and think about what particular health problems could arise in certain pets and just make sure that you're aware of that. And then you also have the opportunity to think about what you can do proactively if you do choose that breed, knowing what their concerns might be. And that's certainly a lot of, you know, why we feel that these breed-specific formulas are very important.
I personally, when breed-specific foods first came on the market, was a bit skeptical, thinking, why is feeding, you know, okay, you feed just a little bit less, or you feed less if you have a Labrador versus a Yorkie. But being exposed to it, being educated more about what are in these various formulas, and even you're having it for cats, there really does seem to be a major difference as to feeding to the breed. For instance, tell us the difference, Dr. Peltz, of feeding a Labrador. What would be the difference in the formulation of feeding the Labrador versus feeding that Yorkshire Terrier?
Sure. Well, you know, we look, and first of all, I think it's helpful to point out, too, that when we develop these formulas, we develop them for breeds that have specific issues that we can address nutritionally. And so, for example, the Lab, they tend to have struggle sometimes with their keeping a healthy weight, and certainly can have joint issues. And they also take that, you know, proclivity for weight gain and then add in the fact that they are very food motivated and sometimes just suck that food right down, hardly even chewing it. So what we did with that is, you know, we adjust the kibble. So most of these have very different and unique kibble. And I think that's what intrigues people the most when they start finding out about this. So, for example, the Lab has a nice little donut-shaped kibble that really slows them down, and they are kind of forced to have to really chew and slow down, and that really aids in their digestion and also helps them not, you know, overeat as much. And then it also has some things in it, too, in our diet that are going to benefit their joints and try to prevent problems there and help them along with that. And then they also have that unique waterproof coat, and we, you know, address needs for that, too, to make that coat as healthy as possible to their specific needs. And then if you flip the coin, you've got the Yorkie, who they don't have, you know, these issues necessarily with the weight. That's not their big issue. Sometimes they're a little fussy on their appetites. A Lab will eat anything. That is absolutely not true of a Yorkie. They might be a little bit more particular.
More cat-like.
That's right. And they're prone to some dental issues. So in that case, we, you know, adjust the kibble so that it's something that's going to help maintain that dental health by keeping the tartar off of those teeth as much as possible, making it something that's extremely palatable because we know these guys are kind of fussy about their appetite. And we also make that kibble easy on them to some degree because they do have a very fragile jaw as well. So that's kind of a difficult thing to balance, but we've found a way to make it work for both of those. So those are just some differences. Those are good two contrasting diets that give you an idea of what we're trying to address.
I'm talking right now with Dr. Laura Peltz. She's with Royal Canin, and they came out with this wondrous survey, Best in Breed Survey, and what it reveals about pet owners and their preferences and dispels common stereotypes about certain cats and dog preferences, likes and dislikes. And you're talking about this feeding the breed for dogs, and there's such variations in dog sizes from that Great Dane to the Chihuahua. But now on the flip side, looking at cats. Cats are all about the same, a little bit of variation. How does your diet vary for cat breeds?
Sure. Well, you know, and again, I think one of the things that always is most interesting is the kibble changes that happen. Let's take, for example, the Persians. So they are very unique, and they eat in a, I find it almost kind of odd way. They actually kind of pick up their kibble with the underside of their tongue and then flip it over. It's very unique to them. So we made a kibble shape that is very easy for them to do that. And then you also realize that they have a lot of, they have a that beautiful coat, but it's maybe not super easy to maintain. So we really put a lot of things in there to keep that skin and coat healthy. And then also because of that wonderful coat, they can be prone to hairballs. So we, you know, adjust the fibers and to pick ones that are really going to be beneficial in preventing hairballs. So that's an example of, you know, how we approach some special needs for that particular breed.
I'm talking right now with Dr. Laura Peltz of Royal Canin. They have some fascinating information on feeding to the breed and why America loves certain breeds, cats or dogs. We're going to be right back after the short break to talk more about why we have this penchant for cats and dogs. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Every pet is unique. Maybe they're gray in the muzzle, yet young at heart. Maybe they're growing out of the puppy stage and into their paws and ears. Or maybe they're just trying to maintain a more girlish figure. At PetSmart, we have the right food for your pet at a great value for you. PetSmart. Be better together.
Go to PetSmartDeal.com and save up to 30% on pawsome gifts for the pets and pet people in your life. Toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com today. PetSmartDeal.com.
Dog Shelter Blues, the new novel by Mark Conkling. This hard-hitting story lights up the world of animal rescue with engaging characters and their pets, struggling with their own internal demons as they attempt to rescue innocent creatures that sometimes bring a mysterious transforming power to broken lives. Read the first chapter of Dog Shelter Blues free at dogshelterblues.com. Then come along a breathtaking journey that ends with an astonishing triumph of good over evil. Order your copy of Dog Shelter Blues today. Available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Hi, everybody. I'm Megan Blake here with my sidekick, Super Smiley, the giant mutt and spokes dog for throwaways. You're listening to Pet Life Radio, and I'd like to tell you about our brand new show, A Super Smiley Adventure. Our show explores adventures with animals. They can be traveling, out-in-the-world trips, or inner journeys where our animals lead us to inspiration and self-discovery, or just plain, fun adventures. Join us here on Pet Life Radio on A Super Smiley Adventure. Good boy.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Peltz, thank you very much for being with us. We've been talking about Labradors and the way that they inhale their food, and I had a black lab, and yes, I mean, this dog, if it could have gotten into 40 pounds of dog food, it would have eaten it down and died a happy death at one time. And right now, I just have mixed breed cats, and I know most people seem to have mutts, mixed breed dogs, or mixed breed cats. What do you feed them?
Well, we also, in addition to these breed-specific formulas, have a very large array of products for cats and dogs both. And we focus on, when we don't have a specific breed, we do look, especially with dogs, on size, nutrition, because even though it's not specific breeds, and those they may not be as specific with the differences among them, there are some consistent findings from small dogs to large dogs, whether it be joint issues or their digestive concerns. So we also have that available because, you know, mixed breeds are extremely popular. So you adjust to that as well. And then on the cat side, we have a similar thing. It's not so much about size, but life stage. And that's also important on the dog side as well. But are they, you know, kittens, adults, those senior pets are going to have special needs. We also look at things about, are we having a tendency to be heavy? We've got some diets that are going to address that. Hairball issues on the cat side, very picky appetites. We have some diets that are intended to be for those animals that are very, very picky and need something that's extremely palatable. So just there's lots of options, and I think it's just good to realize that it really is about providing precise nutrition as much as possible for each individual pet, whether that be based on their size, their age, all those things are important, or these breed-specific formulas, we can really get specific on those.
Going back to this survey, I have to really be, kind of proud since I'm a cat owner, and I know that I am in the company of people who share their homes with, again, the 74 million cats. So cats almost seem to be man's best friend. Have you found in your studies, in your survey, as to why some people tend to go more for cats or dogs or, you know, what's the difference?
Well, I think, you know, ultimately it does come back to lifestyle. And a lot of times with cat owners, they may not be the most, maybe they don't care so much about being out and active. They're more of, you know, like to be at home. We didn't specifically address those questions, but my experience in practice was always that sometimes they were just people that wanted to, you know, they weren't so much at the park or going on those hikes. They just kind of enjoyed relaxing at home. But there's also the cat owners I would hear a lot in, when I was in practice that, you know, I like to travel. It's a little easier to travel with a cat than a dog and, you know, things like that, whether it be taking them along, depending on where you're going, or just it's not, they may not require as much maintenance as a dog if you have to leave town, things like that. But I think, too, there's just something about personality that makes you kind of lean one way or the other. And I don't think any survey has necessarily pinpointed that just yet, but I think it definitely exists.
And if somebody were going to be, say, you know, I've been a dog owner all my life, but, kind of thinking of getting a cat. How can they choose, or, you know, vice versa? How should they do their homework of figuring out what's going to be the best? You can go online and see some of these animals, but what are your suggestions of helping you to choose that breed, cat or dog, that's going to fit in best with your lifestyle?
Well, I think the first step is really looking at what types of maintenance are going to be involved and what are their day-to-day needs going to be to see if that really does fit with your lifestyle. And then once you get beyond that, I think you start looking at the specific characteristics and their personality. If you want that really interactive personality, you know, and especially if you've been a dog person, that might be something that you're really looking for, that Maine Coon or the Siamese, that's going to be a good choice for you. You know, or if you don't care so much about that, then that may not be your issue. But I think really looking at what, you know, if you've decided to make that change, what made you make that change? What are you looking for? And are they going to be a good personality fit? And then certainly just really doing your homework on what are the differences in care between dogs and cats and being aware of that. And sometimes I think that's more if you've had cats and you're going to get dogs, it can be a little bit of a shock. Oh, my goodness, I have to walk them. And there's this grooming issue, sometimes with cats, but not as frequently. But, you know, if you pick a breed that needs a lot of grooming, that's something that may be new to you, and you just need to have done your homework to have, you know, researched and discovered that that is going to be part of the package here if you go this route.
oftentimes I'll have clients come in going, you know, I would love to have a cat or I'd love to have a dog, but oh, I'm so allergic. I've tried having a cat in the past and my allergies won't allow it. I know so often that I personally am allergic to cats and dogs, and I'm being a veterinarian in clinical practice every day. It seems kind of backwards, but I do very well with domestic short hairs, little mixed breed short hair cats. But if I'm around a Siamese for too long, the eyes get itchy, the throat gets itchy, and then I have a very good girlfriend. She can't do domestic short hairs, but she can do the Oriental breed. So she has a Siamese at home, a Siamese mix, and her allergies are absolutely fine. So I'll oftentimes tell clients, you know, find a friend who has various breeds and go visit. Don't take your Benadryl before you go just to see what kind of reaction you're going to have. And you may find that breed X you do great with and another one you can't. There's no such thing as a hypoallergenic dog or a cat. It seems to me many times those breeds that are like the Portuguese water dog that President Obama has. Ah, yes, when that first came out, hypoallergenic. It's like, no, it's just being groomed and it's going to the beauty shop. So many of those allergens are being washed off the skin.
Right.
Have you found that diet makes a difference too for these animals and with regard to allergies for people?
You know, I don't really think that correlation exists. I think it's more individual in terms of the people and how they're going to react. I really think that it's an individual thing, and I don't think that nutrition plays effect in that. Now, certainly, we can have a profound impact on the health of their coat, their skin and coat, but I don't think it particularly has been shown to affect their potential for causing allergic responses in people.
Yes, I would agree with you. So if you keep that dander down and you keep that skin and coat healthy, that everyone's going to be much healthier in the long run.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think you can have the best fed and best cared for cat in the world and still be quite allergic to them if you have that propensity.
You had intimated also feeding to the breed and keeping a healthy weight. And that's so difficult. We have so many pets that are overweight. Food, you know, thankfully, Royal Canin makes a very palatable food. The animals love it. How do you make sure you're not overfeeding? Because many times you look at a bag, you look at a can of food, and it says, if you have a 9-pound animal, you're supposed to feed X amount of food. But, you know, boy, if I fed that amount, my pet wouldn't make it through the door in a week's time. How do you assure that you're feeding the appropriate amount and that your pet is at a healthy weight?
Well, you know, this is a very good example of a situation that really leaning on your veterinarian for some advice can be a big help, because it's too difficult to just sometimes pare it down to just this. If they weigh this much, feed them this much, because there's a lot of factors. We certainly want to provide a guideline of where to start, but there's, you know, their activity level. What kind of body condition are they in now? If they're very overweight at 15 pounds or whatever, you know, if they're very overweight, then that changes our recommendations as opposed to a healthy weight at 15 pounds. So really leaning on your vet to help you with that. And just, I think it is so important to realize that they are just what they're called, their guidelines. It's a good starting place, but everybody's different and they may have unique needs that we want to, you know, be on a little bit on either side of that, depending on their particular lifestyle and body condition.
And I'd love to have you, Dr. Peltz, discuss a little bit about body condition. It's something that client will come in and I will walk them through body condition scoring. So they go to the dog park with that dog and they go, well, my Labrador's not fat, because there's a lot of other Labradors that are fatter. And I'll always tell people, you know, if you want to look skinny, have fat friends. So what's your recommendation? How do you tell people, how do they assess a body condition score?
All right. Well, I agree with you. I spent a lot of time in practice speaking with my clients about that as well. And I think it's important to focus on each individual's body condition, because I think we as people get really wrapped up in the number, the weight. I want to weigh this much, or, you know, I want to get my dog to this particular weight. And we certainly want to have a target that we're working towards, but we need to continually look at them because they're all so different. Their body shapes are all so different. And we want to look at, you know, things that are important or the rib cage. We don't ever want to see it, but I want to be able to feel it very easily when I touch that pet. And I also want to see a nice waistline. So you look more at their individual body than you're focused, not so much focused on this particular weight, this number. And it's a very important thing for veterinarians to have that conversation and educate their clients that that's what they're looking for. If your pet has these characteristics, their body condition is absolutely perfect, and that's what we want.
I couldn't agree with you more. Say, you know, you and I can get on the scale and it says X, and it's like, I don't know, my clothes just don't feel well. So, you know, looking at your body, how your clothes fit, how your collar fits your pet, and, you know, whether or not you can easily, and that's that key word I think for me, easily feel the ribs not pinching that inch, will make a major difference. Well, Dr. Peltz, this has just been fascinating. Anything else that you just, you got to tell us, something I didn't ask?
Let's see here. Well, I did think, you know, one thing I wanted to bring up is that I found it very, I was excited to see how many people in this survey really realized how important nutrition is when they're thinking about feeding their pets. And I think that's a great thing. I think we are, as people, very aware now that our nutrition has a lot to do with our health. And I think that's transferring over into our world here, and people realize how important their pet's nutrition is. And that's certainly from what I do and knowing how we can positively impact pets' lives with the nutritional benefits that we can bring. That is very exciting to me. And I think also we just find that people really enjoy being able to feel like they can think about their individual pet and find a formula, especially with Royal Canin here, that is going to be very tailored to that particular pet, whatever the situation may be. And I think that's always a very comforting thing, and they realize how important that can be for the health of their pet.
One of the things I think you just brought up right now, people are so concerned with nutrition, and very quickly, people right now seem to be going to these boutique brands of cat and dog food. They're gluten-free, they're grain-free. They hear about a large company such as Royal Canin going, oh, no, you know, I don't want to feed something from a big manufacturer. They can't be putting out a good product. Could you briefly touch on those types of topics?
Sure. Well, you know, I think that definitely is a concern. I'm excited for the part that, you know, we realize how important nutrition is. But it's also just as important that we understand that they are very different from us. And so I shouldn't, you know, put my particular nutritional needs on what they need. And I can tell you that, you know, we pride ourselves on being a very, very scientifically based company. We do lots and lots of research to make sure that we are meeting the nutritional needs of these pets and do everything we can to improve the quality of their life. And to me, from where I've always come from, as considering myself somewhat of a scientist in the field that I've chosen, to me, that is very important. I'm not as concerned what a particular ingredient or something, how it plays into human medicine. I want to know how these pets do with this and what benefits there are. So I think that's very important. And then also to understand how aggressive we are with our quality of all of our ingredients and just the measures that we take to ensure that we're putting out an extremely safe and high, high quality product for these pets.
Well, I've been very pleased with all the animals that I have on Royal Canin who I've recommended your over-the-counter products as well as your veterinary formulations. They've all been extremely well tolerated, and pets seem to enjoy it, and the owners seem to enjoy it. So Dr. Laura Peltz with Royal Canin, thank you very much for being with us today. I've really enjoyed the interview, and hopefully this interview will help people realize that nutrition is important. Whether or not you love your cat or dog or which one, it's totally up to you, but make sure that you do the best that you can so they live as long a healthiest life as possible. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Thank you very much to the producer, Mark Winter, for putting on an excellent show. So thanks for listening. Please tune in again next week. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.